Welcome to the Mike Douglas Show. This is Louis Armstrong. I'm Mike's co-host for the week. And with us on today's show will be Cesar Romero, Earl Wilson. First edition. My wife, Lucille Armstrong, who will cook my favorite dish. Joe Hornell and the band. And now, here's Mike.
They say some people long ago were searching for a different tune, one that they could croon as only they can. They only had the rhythm, so they started swaying to and fro. They didn't know just what to do, and that is how the blues really began. They heard the breeze up in the trees. It was singing weird melodies, and they made that the start of the blues. The jail, there came a wail. It was from a downhearted little frail, and they made that the start of the blues. From a whippoorwill high up on a hill, they took a new note. Then they chopped it through a horn until it was worn into a blue note. And then they up and nursed it. They even rehearsed it. And then they gave out with all the news that the Southland gave. That song was for a very special person, my co-host, because he sings and plays the blues like no one else. And one of the most recognized people in the entire world. He's entertained everywhere, and everywhere he's entertained, he's made people happy. So would you welcome Satchmo himself, the great Louis Armstrong.
Another beautiful blues. I hate to see the evening sun go down. Yes, I hate to see that evening sun go down. 'Cause the gal that I love, she done skipped this town. Now if I'm feeling tomorrow like I feel today, yes, if I feel tomorrow like I feel today. But if you let her walk in that door and you hear me holler, hey, yeah. St. Louis woman with the diamond ring. There's that man around, her apron string. Now it wasn't for father and the stove-bought hair. All the gal I love, she wouldn't go nowhere, nowhere. Got to St. Louis blues, blues I can't be. Yes, my gal got a heart like a rock in the sea. Or else she would not be so far away. Yes, I got to say, I got to say, this blues. Yeah, man, I've got to say, this blues. I got to say, this blues. I said I got the St. Louis blues, Papa, oh, yeah. I said I got the St. Louis.
I wish you could see what I saw, but you look in the faces of the people when you perform, don't you?
Yeah.
You realize that everybody in that audience, I was kind of peeking, because what happens in the studio audience is happening at home, and everybody's just sitting like this. Laughing.
Yeah.
You know? I love to have had photographs of everybody.
You nice make smiles, you know.
You make a lot of people happy.
And they make me happy, too, you know. It's one beautiful gathering when I'm before my public. And I always see somebody I recognize, too. They want to say, what you say, Gabe? You see, waving like that.
Oh, they give you the little...
A little quickly.
That's nice, that's
you
nice.
Know, there's a funny thing about an audience. The first big band I played with in Chicago, the little trumpet player, Nina Dominic, and that was his first show. And that boy was so nervous. You know, now this is the curtain, you know, going up.
Yeah.
And... As the curtain went up, you'd see this cat looking at the people like that. And that was the thing that make you, you know. But he got used to it.
You know, I've known you quite a while now. I've known you about 5 or 6 years.
That's right.
And I've never seen you when you looked unhappy. Do you ever get the blues?
You know, the blues is life itself. You take it, come from way back. From the leather camp, and well, say the slaves, and as the world came up, Bessie Smith days, it's a kind of depressive, you know, like you feel down in the dumps, and it's mostly about somebody is in love.
Oh yeah, everybody can identify with that. Can't
yeah,
they?
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
I say my man don't love me, or my gal don't quit me. You know, another mule in my stall, all them crazy things, you know.
Yeah.
But it comes
another
up.
Another mule in my stall?
Yeah, another man.
Oh, another man. Oh, yeah. I see.
That's what it is.
Oh,
nice
I
way
see.
Of putting it, you know.
Okay, I follow you.
So,
I
when
you
look
farming.
Around.
I didn't know. I thought you were a rancher. I don't know.
Well, no, I could tell you a nice joke about my uncle's horse.
Television joke, Louis?
I don't know if it's television, but I know the people would enjoy it. And it's not that bad.
All right, we'll do a clean start in case we have to go back and do this over.
Well, tell me
a story, Louis, about your uncle.
All right, now, if it's bad...
This gives the guy an even break upstairs.
If it's bad, you can cut it off. But I,
okay.
You know, but when I was a kid, my mother used to send me down in Boutte, Louisiana, where she was born, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was about 7 years old, and my old Uncle Ike had an old horse called Nellie. So I used to be thrilled to go down there with him to feed Nellie the oats. Yeah. But one morning he sent me, say, you feed Nellie the oats this morning. So I went there and I opened the gate and I said, good morning, Nellie. Would you like some oats this morning? And Nellie looked around and raised up her tail and said, off you. Anyway.
That's it? I think I knew Nellie. I used to spend a lot of time on the farm driving a team for my uncle.
Oh, well, that's those things in life.
You know, there's a special lady backstage who helps you get rid of your blues, and she probably, I think she must know you better than you know yourself. Well, most of our wives do, don't they?
Oh, yes, right.
Here is Mrs. Armstrong, Lucille Armstrong. Would you welcome her? Back in show business, somebody told me you filled out a contract for this appearance.
Isn't that something after 30 years?
That's right.
I haven't been before any audience in 30 years.
Well, yesterday you did the little dance.
Well, yes, that was the first time.
Yeah.
Yes, that was so wonderful.
How long have you and Louis been married, Lucille?
Well, we've been married, we're entering into our 29th year.
Oh, isn't that nice?
29
years. I saw Louis do a little bow to the audience, and you didn't even, you know, don't you think you should do a little nod, too, for that applause?
Oh, of course, definitely. You know, it's always wonderful to know that marriages are still in fashion, and they're still staying together. It can be done, you know.
Yes, it can.
Yes.
We're living proof of it, aren't we?
Definitely.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
How did you and he meet?
Well, I was a dancer.
At the Cotton Club.
I don't know how many people can remember the Cotton Club in New York.
I remember the Cotton Club.
And I started in Harlem when it was really big, and stayed there until it closed in 1935. I did a few Broadway shows for Max Gordon, and went to Europe with a show called Blackbirds Blue Leslie. Came back to New York and went into the new Cotton Club. It was where the old Latin Quarter is today.
Oh, yes.
And that's where I met Sat.
I understand there were some other girls in that line. One, I believe, was named Lena Horne, wasn't
Lena
she?
Lena Horne came in, and Leslie Odom's mother, and a few other mothers.
How did you start dating, Lucille?
Well, now, that's... shall I tell?
Yeah, well,
you can correct her if you want to.
No. Well, you know, I was very friendly with all the boys in Louis' band at that time. I had worked with them in other bands, and they all liked me, and Louis thought they were sort of liking me for themselves. And he said, well, this girl's unattached, and I kind of like her, you know. So he told Lou Russell, whose band Louis was fronting, to tell me this.
To tell you
he
that he
wouldn't tell me himself. He had Lou Russell
you
to
were,
tell
he
me.
He was shy about that?
Louis, you know, Louis is still a... Louis is a kind of shy guy yet.
No,
you
baby.
Know. So Lou Russell corners me one day. Lou Russell corners me just as we were going on and says, you know, Lou Armstrong likes you, and he told me to tell you that he'd like to date you, and it's all... Well, I tell him. And now I'm just a little young chorus girl, and well, I don't believe this. You know, they've got real glamour girls there, and everybody's a little bit more on the ball than I am. So why would this guy pick on little me? And I don't believe it. So he said, well, I tell him. I said, well, just tell him that you weren't able to tell me. So I guess he told Louis, but a couple of days later, Louis cornered me in the wing and said, look here, little girl. You know, I think you're pretty sharp. He said, and I know all these guys are sharking after you, and I want you to know I'm in the running, too.
Lucille, how did he propose? I mean, what did he say to you?
Well, actually,
how long did you know him before he proposed?
About 2 years.
2 years?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, it wasn't love at first sight then, was it, Louis?
There was plenty of love going on.
But not at first sight, I see.
Well, you know, I'm Louis' fourth wife.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh. And he was separated from his third wife, and so we couldn't marry. And he kept saying, well, now, you just stick around, you know, wait for Pops. Mm. And I'll get divorced, you know, and he's taking care of this woman's getting alimony. Now, she's not about to give him up.
Yeah.
And I wasn't about to.
Somehow or other, that man said 1,000 words.
Oh, you know,
when you finish, I want to tell Mike the incident.
All right. So anyway, he tells me, now, you just stay put, you know, and one of these days, she'll give me a divorce and we'll marry. Mm. And I'm young. Well, how long do you wait? So I just was seen on the scene with the young boys, and Louis got tired of that, and he said, look, I can't hold you down. I guess I better marry you. Right. I'll get the divorce. And
so the morning we went into court, Lucille was there, 10 o'clock in the morning, and quite naturally, the musicians, you know, they'd go home after 4 o'clock, getting off or something, and we stopped in a couple of in flats or something, you know, in those days. But I had to be in court 10 o'clock in the morning, and I had my witness, and the judge kept on asking him questions. And every time he said, uh-huh, I said, man, you gonna get me 6 months, judge. So now, let me talk to this judge. So George asked me a few questions. I said, yes, sir, so-and-so the case. And finally, the judge asked me, said, look here, boy, you got a cold? I said, no, judge. It's just this sawmill voice that all my fans say I have, you know. And that cat got so tickled, he said, chuck, 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 divorce granted. That's
what
he
What did Lucille say after you proposed, Louis?
Yes.
She said. Just one word, yes.
That's enough for me.
Did you ever tell her you loved her at
yes,
that time?
Sir, yes,
did you?
Sir, many times.
Well, Louis used to call me from all over, you know. He was the big band, and of course, they were doing one night, as you know, the big band dance bit. And every time I looked around, Louis was calling me. He finally told me, he says, you know, you're costing me an awful lot of money, and I think we'd better get married. He says, just marry Pops. He says, marry me. He says, I'll put diamonds all over you, you know. So I think that's what did it.
Did he keep his promise?
He certainly did. Yes.
And we met in St. Louis at a vocalist house, at Bellevue Middleton.
I didn't know anyone there. I had my mother to come down. I wanted to marry in New York.
A big orchid pin right there. One of them good ones do it. Uh-huh.
No, I wanted to marry in New York. I'm from New York. I'm born in New York.
Uh-huh.
But Louis wasn't to be in New York for a year. Well, now he's finally got his divorce. I can't let this man run free a year. I might lose him. So I went to Philly. I went to St. Louis and married him.
That's right.
Good
and I
for
took
you.
My mother with me.
Beautiful
good
way.
For you.
And
the preacher, he preached a good sermon.
Yes.
And 2 days later, he got a divorce from his wife. When them church singers got in there. Well, look at how I was straight.
Yeah.
What would you say? You know, his horoscope said we talked about that yesterday. He's romantic.
He is.
Is he?
Very much so.
It also said he's moody. Is he moody, Lucille?
Well, I think we all are up to a point.
Think so.
I don't know. One is completely steady. Everyone has their moods, but Louis is pretty even. The one thing about Louis that I like is that he lets you know where you stand.
He's honest.
He's very honest.
Yeah.
If
he sure
you, and if you step on his corn, He's not going to wait until tomorrow or 3 days from now and let it brood on him. When you step on his corn, he can let you know it then and there.
Especially my corn.
And it's, you know what I mean. When you get him angry and he gets it off of his chest and it's finished.
That's good.
And I think it's a very good thing.
That's good for him, too.
It is. Uh-huh.
What would you say, and either one of you can answer this, what would you say was the most important moment in your lives, both your lives?
Well, I think I've had two most important moments in my life with Louis. The first is when Louis became very, very ill in Italy, in Spoleto, in 1959. We were there for the Jean Carlo Menotti Festival of Two Worlds. As soon as we arrived, Louis became ill, and we thought we were going to lose him, and sort of got me, you know, where I live. Then I moved into the hospital with him, and of course they didn't have adjoining rooms with the doors through. I had to come out of the hall and come into the room.
Mm-hmm.
And they were treating Louis. As a matter of fact, we were in Italy, in Spoleto. It's a very small, picturesque town. One hospital, nobody speaks English.
Yeah.
Oh,
and of course, the diagnosis, we have our
is.
Own doctor with us. We have our own doctor with us, Dr. Schiff. But Dr. Schiff is not allowed to practice, but he knows Louis' case history, and he tells these doctors it's not a heart attack, it's pneumonia. Hmm. And they keep saying, no, it's a heart attack. And they finally treated Louis for a heart attack for 4 days, and the pneumonia is getting deeper. Mm. And Louis almost died, and we had a very, very dear friend, Countess Paluazzi, Alicia Paluazzi, took everything in hand, and she sent to Rome for some diagnosticians and an English-speaking nurse. Immediately, they diagnosed the case of pneumonia, and then started treating Louis for pneumonia, and we had our own antibiotics. They had nothing. They didn't even have oxygen, so that, but Louis pulled out of it. He's got a very, very strong constitution. He pulled out of it, and of course, this morning I'm taking this bath about 6 o'clock in the morning after Louis had gone into, you know, sort of a crisis, but you know, when you have pneumonia.
Yeah, when the fever breaks.
And I hear Louis, 6 o'clock in the morning, hollering, "I want spaghetti! I want spaghetti for breakfast."
And you knew it
was
well.
And I'm bathing, and I said, "This man's all right." You know,
spaghetti for breakfast.
Get dressed quick enough to go in and look at him, and he was just perfect.
Now, what's that nurse? What's her name? She came all the way from Rome, and she had retired, but a special nurse. She said, "Satchmo, I'll take care of Satchmo." So when she arrived, I was laying in that. "Say, Satchmo, what you doing in that bed?" I said, "I don't know, babe. It's just one of them deals, I guess." And in the meantime, she was opening her little case, and I noticed she...
Shaking the thermometer?
Yeah, she was just shaking it like that, you know, and we're talking. So she said, "Okay." And I said, "Where in the hell you been? Turn over there."
Louis and Lucille, we have a fine young musical group for you today. They've been with us on several occasions. In fact, they did a Christmas special with me.
Mm.
They're marvelous. And they're going to do their big single record. This record's in the top five right now. It's called Something's Burning. Here are Kenny Rogers and the First Edition.
Oh, yeah.
Take your hand and hold it tightly. Listen, can you not hear our young hearts beating? I kiss the sleep from your
Can't you feel it? I hear it come. Feel it. Feel it. Fire. Fire. Something's burning. Something's burning. Something's burning. And I think it's love. Is burning brightly. We lie in love so close together. I get the feeling deep inside me. My love for you will burn forever. I cup my hands to touch your face, and once again I feel your fire. Here you come. Can't you feel it, baby? Here it comes. Feel it. Feel it. Fire. Fire. Something's burning. Something's burning. And I think it's love.
First edition. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Our next guest, this next gentleman was with us a few weeks ago, much to the delight of Gwen Verdon, who got to do the tango with him. I always like to when he visits with us, and I know the women are really thrilled about it. All of a sudden, it sounds like an electrical circuit went on the blink when he walks out. Here is Cesar Romero. You look disgustingly healthy. How dare you come to Philadelphia
I have to keep myself in shape. You know, with the way the movie business is, you never know when I'm going to have to take my clothes off, you know?
Would you do that?
Well, I tell you,
Not here, Caesar.
Now, I'll tell you, I'm very glad that fad is now, you know, and not when I was a young man in pictures, because I don't think I ever looked too good, you know, naked. And I feel very...
A couple of ladies went, oh, I don't understand that.
And I feel very safe now, because when you get to be my age, nobody asks you to take your clothes off. See, it's usually the other way around. It's safe to keep them on.
Have you recovered from the tango with Gwen?
Say, wasn't she great?
You made her.
Well,
so
she's a
happy.
Beautiful dancer.
Oh, is she?
But she's a beautiful dancer.
Now you were trying to cop out that day, and you looked. You said you were going to step on her. You looked like you were.
I never dance anymore. I used to dance years ago.
You danced in a couple of pictures, didn't you?
Only about two or three. Yes, I never danced very much in motion pictures.
Yeah.
I danced with Betty Grable in one picture.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah.
You've been really taking a lot of hard knocks in your time.
Yeah, I danced with Betty, and I had Sonia Henney with Sonia, and Carmen Miranda. You know.
Carmen Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, she was a great performer.
Yes, she was. They were great pictures, too.
Those pictures when they show on television?
I sure do.
Do you?
Yeah, I look at myself with black hair, you know, and every once in a while I say, boy, how did I ever get another job, you know?
Did you think you were bad now, seriously?
Well, I thought I was good then, you know. Well, yes, I thought I was pretty good then. But when you see things later on, you say, oh, my, if you could only do it over again. Isn't that true?
Yeah, even so,
you do things differently.
See, so Oscar night when they showed the old Cary Grant films and then brought it all up to date, even he, as great as he is, it looked a little corny in those early pictures, you know?
Well,
I guess it was the way they were making pictures then.
Very different today from the ones that we made. I haven't seen all these sort of racy pictures, if you want to call them that. To be perfectly honest with you, I don't particularly enjoy them. I think there are certain things...
How do you know you wouldn't enjoy them if you haven't seen
them? Well,
it?
I've seen some of them,
oh,
but I haven't seen all
them.
Of them. I mean, I've got the pictures like I'm Curious Yellow and all that. I haven't seen a great many of them. But the ones that I have seen, I must say that I don't think they're particularly pleasant to look at. There's certain things I think that are private.
Yes.
You know, that within four walls. Why do you have to put them on the screen?
Well, a lot of people agree with you.
No, because I really mean that. I don't think it's entertaining. I think it's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm kind of old-fashioned.
Have you? I'm curious because
we all
you
are.
Know,
point. Right. We all are.
That's
point.
True.
Yes. Definitely.
I'm old-fashioned, but we have Earl Wilson on the show a little later, and I got to thinking. Because they used to print things in columns that weren't true years ago. You know, they to build up a box office, they'd say, so-and-so is dating somebody, you know,
yeah,
and they really weren't. It was just a press agent's dream.
Well, a press agent would do that,
yeah,
as a rule.
You've had things like
yes,
that.
Yes, I used to read things in columns about myself, and I'd say, my.
Did I do
know,
that?
When did that happen?
Yeah.
And particularly when I first went out to California, and my family were still living in the East, my mother would read these things in the papers, and she'd call up and she'd say, what happened, you know? And she'd read that I'd had an accident or something, which was nothing, you know, but the publicists make a big thing out of it.
Yeah. Did you ever develop, through a picture, a lasting friendship with someone?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, yes. Many. I'd say I can think of two friendships that I've had one. Remember Virginia Bruce?
Oh, yes.
Well, Virginia and
beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful girl. Virginia and I did a picture together in 1936 with Lawrence Tibbett and Alice Brady, a picture called Metropolitan. And I met Virginia on that picture, and we've been the closest of friends ever since to this day.
Do you have many friends in the business? And who was the other one? I'm sorry. Who was the other one?
The other one was Tyrone Power.
Mm.
Tyrone and I...
There's that electrical circuit again.
Well, he was a wonderful guy. We were at 20th Century Fox together for years, and I had one of the most wonderful experiences in my life, actually. When I came back from the war, at the end of the war, I got out of the service at the same time that Tyrone did. He was in the Marine Corps, I was in the Coast Guard. And I came back from the Pacific, I was discharged, came back to the studio, and Ty was discharged from the Marine Corps. So the studio, as a sort of a welcome home present, if you want to call it that, gave us a little twin-engine Beechcraft. And Tyrone was a flyer. He was a pilot.
Gave you a
little... Well, they supplied us with the, you know, it was a studio plane.
I see.
And we took off in this plane, and we went down through Mexico, and we hit every country in Central America, and then we circled all of South America. We hit every country in South America except Bolivia and Venezuela.
And went down the western coast, down to Santiago, Chile, and through the pass to Argentina, Buenos Aires, Montevideo, and up the eastern coast, up with the West Indies to Havana, Cuba, Havana, Miami, Miami, New York, California. We were on this trip 10 weeks.
What a trip.
It was great. It was just wonderful. If we liked the place, we'd stay there for a while. If we didn't like it, we'd get in the plane, and off we'd go. And Ty was an excellent flyer. We weren't trying to break any records, so we weren't taking any chances.
Meet any interesting ladies on that trip?
Yeah, quite a few. And I'll tell you what.
One, I wouldn't have thought that. You and Jerome Power.
One.
An attractor thing, huh?
One very interesting lady that we met and we had dinner with was Evita Perón.
Juan
Perón, when he was president of Argentina. And she was... She was quite a jazzy lady.
Go on.
And she was very amusing, very entertaining. You know, she'd been a performer in her younger days.
That.
Yes, she'd been in pictures and had done bit parts in pictures. And I was the only one in the group that spoke Spanish, so she directed most of her conversation to me, and I sort of... interpreted for everybody else. And she was telling me, she said, "You're so fortunate," she said, "in your country they respect artists." He said, "Here in my country," she says, "they spit on them." She said, "I know, because I was an artist once." And she wanted to take us to show us the last picture that she was in. And Perón said, no, she said, "These boys don't want to go see a picture. They're here to have a good time." He wouldn't let us run it.
But both of you, of course, were known because of motion pictures. They're
seen
everywhere in the world. You see, motion picture stars and people like Louis Armstrong go out of America, and it's still like being in America, because everyone recognizes
you. Yeah, because you're seen all over the world.
Do you ever get tired of that, Caesar, being recognized?
No. Listen, that's part of it. Well, I should get tired. I should be so unlucky to get tired of it.
That's right.
No, I think it's wonderful. I've been at it for a long time, like Louis, and it's just great to still feel that you have a career. You know, the first time I appeared with
56 years he's been in it?
Yeah, well, I've been at it 44. And you know, the first time that I appeared with Louis on television, I don't know whether you remember or not, Louis, in 1953, when I had a show called Chevrolet Showroom in New York, remember? And you were one of the guests on the show.
Small world, eh, Pops?
Yeah.
Do young people still point at you and recognize you from the thing you did on Batman, the Joker?
Well, they don't always recognize me.
Because you were all
didn't look sort of like myself, I don't think, did I? You know, I had that white clown makeup and the green wig and all that, but... when the kids would know me as the Joker, when they hear that, they say, "Oh, you were the Joker," then they would know. But they wouldn't recognize me right off the bat, the little kids, you know, because I didn't look the same.
Do you enjoy doing things like
that? Oh, yes.
Character things?
I had a lot of fun doing that. You could get out there and scream and yell and hoot and holler, you know, and, and do anything, get away with it. It was a lot of fun.
Get a lot of that out of your system holding back. You're still a bachelor, aren't you?
Yeah,
son of a gun. You son of a gun. Boy, you must be fast afoot, I want to tell you. To look like that. Do you like your women as meticulous as you are? I've never seen you other than the way you look now.
I mean, you always see pictures
in magazines, it ties right in place.
You know, when you're in front of the public doing something, you sort of get dressed up a little or something. Hey, I look pretty sloppy at home sometimes.
Yeah, do you?
Really?
Yeah. Well,
we all do.
You like to be...
This is where you can really let your hair down.
Oh, yeah. That's not...
You know, and just... Be yourself.
That's right. And particularly living in California.
He's always been sharp.
Living in California is very informal.
Out in the garden, it gets sharp.
Informal.
I like that style. Don't you
like
Louis?
That?
Yes.
Comfortable around the neck, huh?
I didn't want to bring too much stuff, you know. I just wanted to carry a little bag, so I figured this is the easiest thing.
I got to ask you, Caesar, because I know that you represent the Petrocelli clothing firm and that you're very clothes conscious. Now, what do you think about this new midi look that they're coming in with the women's, with the dresses will be down here in the middle of the...
Well, it's not, it's nothing new. The women had the dresses down to there years ago, and they wore them like when they thought
it was
beautiful. So they just have to get used to it again.
Do you think it's going to really come in? A lot of women are saying no, they're going to keep
A lot of women said no when the skirts went up to here. I think these mini skirts, you know, the ones, I think they're very cute on young girls, you know, on the teenage girls with cute little figures. They're great, those little.
Not bad.
But you know, when you see Women that are past a certain stage
right.
with skirts up to here, they look terrible. That's all.
We'll be right back. Susan.